Just take one slip out, you'll be reading that scripture you pull out. Pardon me? Yeah, some of them have more than one scripture. So if you got the one with more than one scripture, that means you only have like a line or two. So I'll give you a little bit more to read. Tonight I want to revisit the subject we talked about a couple of weeks ago, civil government. I want to talk about the believer in government because last night I had a little bit of a tough night. I was awake all night, not feeling well. And I had such, I guess, an epiphany or an aha moment as I was watching the newscaster struggling to believe that this wasn't happening. I watched them in utter frustration, and there was nothing they could look to. You know, they were void of crying out to God. I think, I'm not making a judgment call, maybe some were Christians, but it didn't look like they were peaceful at all in the Lord. It looked like they were grabbing at straws, trying to, you know, right to the end. There's still a way. There's still one guy's looking to the map and he said, Clinton can still do it if this happens. You know, right up until 5 minutes when they announced, you know, conceded the race and all of that. And I had such a pity in my heart. I started to grieve for them because that's who Jesus died for. That's who Jesus died for, were those folks. He died for every one of us. And I was just asking the Lord, how, you know, we're all kind of breathing a sigh of relief. We got the person we wanted. But how many know this nation is still greatly divided? One election did not straighten that out. And it's not going to, thanks. One nation did not straighten it out, or one election did not straighten our nation out. There's a chasm that we've got to cross. And I think it's our responsibility as Christians to build those bridges across the chasm. Nobody else is going to do it. Politicians are not going to do it. I like to think that Mr. Trump is the man that's going to listen to God and yield to the Lord. But I can't trust that. I've got to trust in God. You know, I felt like, you know, I'm already praying for 2 years from now because then some other things are going to happen. But I want to talk tonight very strongly about how we should act as Christians, because I saw a lot of things in this up until the election day and heard a lot of things that greatly disturbed me about the way that we handle things. See, even the angels in the scriptures did not rail against the devil. Even the angels didn't rail against the devil. How many know the devil isn't going to be redeemed? He's going to hell. He's wicked personified. But the angels of the Lord would not rail against the devil. Jesus didn't rail against his enemies, even though he had every right to, when they beat him and spat on him. He said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Now that the elections are behind us and we have God's answer, it's our responsibility to obey what the scriptures say in spite of what others do. Individual responsibility fulfilled blesses others who will follow our example. Individual responsibility that we fulfill are going to bless others, because all eyes are on us right now. We got the answer to our prayer. There's people that are angry and mad, but they're looking to. I heard just this morning that more evangelical Christians voted in this election than in any prior election the last 30 or 40 years. So we got some activity going. We've got some people that have created some interest. But we have the seven mountains that have been left to the devil for so long. Education. Come on, someone. Education's been left to the devil. Now we're going to try to take that back. The entertainment industry, finances, everything's been given over to the devil. And now we have a chance to at least begin to patch that and to take those seven mountains again, those authority levels. But we have to watch how we do it. And we've got to understand that despite... I'm just wondering, and I couldn't help thinking, what would have been our reaction had Hillary Clinton got the nomination? What would we be talking about tonight? would we be saying under our breath, would we be cursing her? I hope she never makes it. I hope she doesn't make it until January 20th. I hope something happens. Who's got Romans 13, 1 and 2? Romans 13, 1 and 2. Listen to what the scripture just said. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. You know, when I accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior, I initially gave Him my whole life. I said, God, wherever You lead me, whatever You do, whatever You guide me, I trust wholly in You. How many have ever taken that back since you said the same thing? It's okay, you can raise your hand. How many said, I don't know if I trust You through this. I'm going to kind of take the wheel for a little bit and control things. It's one thing that to say we're people of faith. It's quite another to say we trust You, God, to take care of the authorities. Because somehow in our mind we think, now that we got the person we want in office, we're going to be able to control. There's going to be all kinds of good things happen. How many know Mr. Trump could change on a dime tomorrow? Are you there? I mean, we just can't count. I hope you don't count on me 100%. I like to think I'm a nice guy and I'm not going to change, but I hope your trust is in God. And we so easily fall for. I remember, I'm an older guy. I remember when President Bush got in. Man, things are going to be, revival's coming. The country's going to be great. And 1 year after he got in, all hell broke out. Towers, war, Afghanistan, Iraq, come on. Do you remember? And all of a sudden he became the guy that wasn't doing so well. And if you remember, that was right at the height of the outpouring of God's Spirit. Started in about 1993 and around 2001, 2002, it was just taking on some things on both ends of the United States, in Toronto and in Brownsville, Florida. And over in the Midwest, I mean, there was an outpouring of God's Spirit right up until that time, and then it dissipated. Because we let our guard down. When God created the heavens and the earth, He set man in the garden to oversee His creation. To help accomplish this and set man over creation, He established three institutions. All authority starts with God, and then, you know what? He gives it to whomever He chooses. God's authority, He gives it to whomever He chooses and wherever we are at the time. Scriptures say, when the righteous rule, the city rejoices. But it's God who sets man in and takes man out. So these three things, if you're taking notes tonight, these three institutions, we've talked about them many times. The first one is the family. We absolutely have to pray for the family units in this nation. The nuclear family, husband and wife or children, are fast becoming a minority. How many know that? Many cities, there are more people living together than there are married. We've got to pray for the institution of marriage. Who has Genesis chapter 2, 18 through 24?
And the Lord said, it's not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper, comparable to him. Out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each creature, that was his name. So Adam gave names to all the cattle, the birds of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him. And the Lord caused deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord had taken from man, he made into a woman. And he brought her to man. And Adam said, now this now, bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh.
Amen. There's power, so much power in that first family that God created. And Adam prophesied Adam said, not God, Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. And then the Holy Spirit reminds us, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife. And so marriage was established. We must pray for the families. We must intercede for the families in our area, in this county, in our state, this nation, because all of what we want, all of what we desire is starts and builds itself on the family. Not that people that are not in family won't be saved, but it's the family units that glorify God and reflect His glory. How you treat your wife, how you treat your husband, how you treat your children, what your nuclear, what that family is the very bedrock of what I believe could be the greatest outpouring of God's Spirit. Because as I've said many times, and I believe the scripture holds up to it, the only reflection of Christ in the church anywhere is the relationship between husband and wife. And Terry and I become so sensitive to when we are not in sync and we are not glorifying God through our relationship, we absolutely have to stop and get it right. Because despite you, nobody might know but us, but the spirit world knows. One of the other things that I saw last night when I was not able to sleep and I was watching these people is the spirit of confusion and lying that we've allowed to permeate society. I mean, how could so many people be so wrong? Miss the whole thing. They're intelligent people. They're even nice people. They look like people I wouldn't mind hanging around with. But they're blinded by this spirit of deception and lying. So the family was established for the development of these four things. Number one, a God-centered relationship and fellowship. The family cannot and won't exist the way God established it if there's not a God-centered relationship in the family. Number two, a God-like character in each person involved in that family. God-like character. Number three in the family is a God-ordained ministry. I always tell men, you are the pastor of your home. You're the leader of your home. If you're not leading your home, don't expect anybody else to do it. It's not going to be the CD. It's not going to be the TV. It's not going to be the church. It's not going to be the evangelist. You are called for that God-ordained ministry. And what you do in the bedrock of your home will build itself out and glorify God. And then fourthly, the family was established for the development of natural and spiritual reproduction. Certainly it's a blessing to have children. Scripture says a man is blessed when his quiver is full of them. Our quiver was only two holes, so we've filled our quiver. But natural and spiritual reproduction. And we've all experienced to some degree, if we haven't had our own children, we know people have children. But how many have actually began and continued to reproduce spiritually? I believe as the physical goes, the spiritual goes. One of the hidden dangers of homosexuality is the inability to reproduce. It's a strike at the garden. It's a strike at creation. It's a very strike at what God created. Some are kind of mocking God and going and finding a partner and having children. But for the most part, they cannot reproduce. And I'm wondering what we could do. We can pray for the family. Number two, how God established these institutions. The second institution, of course, is the civil government. Genesis 9, 1 through 6. Who's got that?
I do. So God blessed Noah with his sons and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be on every beast of the earth, on every bird of the air, on all that move on the earth, and on all the fish of the sea. They are given into your hand. Every moving thing that lives shall be food for you. I have given you all things, even as the green herbs. But you shall not eat flesh with its life, that is, its blood. Surely for your blood, lifeblood, I will demand a reckoning. From the hand of every beast I will require it, and from the hand of man. From the hand of every man's brother I will require the life of man. Whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed. For in the image of God he made man.
So God, right there, after the flood, he established a civil government. And he started to set in place those that would rule over. First of all, God said to Noah that all of the animals, every bird of the air, every beast of the earth, would fear him and have dread of him. Boy, we lost that a long time ago, didn't we? God established government to bring rule and order to society. Number one, God established government to punish the wicked. Romans 13, 3 and 4, who has that? So there you go. The punishing the wicked is the job of those who are set in authority. One of the things that you can see the devil eroding our society is the attack on police officers and government officials. It's one of the breakdowns of our society that we're witnessing right before our eyes. While this election was going on, several police were killed. It didn't make the news because everybody was worried about whether Hillary wrote something in an email. Two officers were killed. We're striking against authority that's been assigned by God. When's the last time you prayed for your police in your community, in this community? Pray for them all the time. God established it. God established it for protection. So they are there to punish the wicked. Thank God for that. Thank God I can pick up my phone and call 911 and have somebody there. I mean, I'd like to call one of you, but you may be busy. We pay out of our taxes, we pay people to take care of us and to come. Amen? Isn't that wonderful? Yes.
And we have done that to ourselves because we're back there in Genesis. Talks about the fact that capital punishment, God established capital punishment. We're back to injustice. And when we rule that out of our society, any place that that has been ruled out, then those who are evil lose their fear of what we're doing in the public. And that has been taken away contrary.
That's so very true. That's so very true. I can't say enough, I can't stress enough that we need to be praying for our civil government. Not just the big leaders that are on, that get all the limelight. It's the people that are serving every day, thankless jobs, that protect and go beyond. Not only was government established to bring a punishment upon the wicked, but they also support and honor good behavior. Someone has scripture starting with Ecclesiastes 8:11 and then Psalm 72. It's 8:11. And there's three scriptures, 8:11, Psalm 72:4, and then Psalm 72:12 through 14. Read that again. Like you said, I mean, somebody murders somebody and they're 20 years on death row. And they die of natural causes. I mean, it's a joke. And then Psalm 72, 4 and verses 12 and 13, 14. And 12 through 14. God's intent was when he established government to support and honor good behavior and to take care of the wicked. And we've seen a turnaround of that thing. It's not an easy fix. It's not just one election that'll fix something like that. It's prayer. It's crying out to God. There used to be a fear of those in authority. It's not there anymore. It's just not there anymore. The fear and dread of those assigned by God. How should the church act in this hour? How should we be? What should we do? We've got to set the pace. Obey the law. When we break the law, fess up to it. not speak against those and rail against those in authority. It's not what we're supposed to do. The third institution, of course, that was established by the Lord is the church in Matthew 16, 18 and 19. Okay? Now that promise was made to Peter, and later in Matthew 18, it was made to the church, to every disciple. Do you realize what authority that we carry with us as a church, as God's representative here on this earth? Listen to what the scripture says. Jesus wasn't teasing when he said, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. The church is his spokesman on the earth. The church is a powerful entity. And I've been at same meetings you have been where somebody says, you know, well, the church is anyone that gathers together. The church is anyone that, you know, if we just get together in a house, we're the church. I get that. I get that I'm part of the church. But God established a government and a church with elders and deacons and local churches that have authority over local areas. And that's what God is blessing. He didn't come up with and scour all that and come up with a second or a third plan. When we read 1st and 2nd Corinthians, we read Galatians, we read Ephesians, Paul talks about order in the church. He writes the letters to the elders of the church. The church is so utterly important. I talk to people all the time and say, you know, I haven't been to church in years. I just sit at home. I listen to the TV or the radio, and I'm part of the church. Yes, I get that, but you're missing out on the power of the church. The church is his spokesman on the earth. We are the equipper of the house. We train the next generation. That's what it's all about. Reproducing and training and sending forth so that we can be an influence and light and salt in our generation. The church has been in times past the conscience to the nation. We need more Billy Grahams. I mean, when Billy Graham used to preach, he was a conscience of the nation. He could spell it out clearly in a 15-minute message. Now we're afraid of hurting and offending someone. We're the conscience of the nation. And I believe God honored and answered in this last couple of days. I got excited like everybody else. God, you actually answered our prayer. And I don't say glibly, now what? I mean it. And I'm saying, God, what's my role to be? How am I to act? What am I supposed to? I don't want to get involved in conversations where I told you so, or talk bad about the one that lost. Because I'm God's spokesman on the earth. If he didn't rail against his enemies, neither should I. Just because I'm free to, just because I have freedom of speech doesn't mean I use the freedom. I have the freedom to say whatever I want. It's my right as an American citizen. But as a citizen of heaven, I've got the right to bite my tongue. And I must. God's relationship with these institutions is, number one, he holds supreme authority over every institution we just talked about. God is the authority supremely over each one. Watch what Daniel chapter 4, verses 34 and 35 say. Who's got that? Daniel 4, 34 and 35. Who has Matthew 28:18? Now you'll notice that Nebuchadnezzar was not a believer. He said all this after he was, what, 7 years chewing grass and his nails were long, and wasn't it 7 years he was out there? He came back and he declared his dominion is an everlasting dominion and his kingdom is from generation to generation. Now, I listened to Hillary's speech today and Obama's speech today. And I caught some things. I don't know if anybody caught it, but I caught some things. President Obama was actually kind. Anybody hear his speech? He said, we want this transition to be smooth. He said, I remember when we came to the White House, how the Bushes treated us in the transition from the Bushes to us. And we want to do that exact same thing when President-elect Trump comes to the White House. And I thought, I've never heard him talk so nice. Pardon me? That was sweet. He said, we want a smooth transition. We want the guy as our next president. That's what capitalism is all about. We may not like it, but he's the next president. We're going to honor him. We're going to work with him. And Hillary Clinton said the same thing. Hillary Clinton said the same thing. And so I'm hearing, out of all that, I'm hearing God, because they've been in the eating grass and growing nails and stuff. They've been out there where there is no auction. They actually thought they could run the country. God said, I don't think so. I gave you a chance. You didn't do it. And so his relationship with them is he's supreme authority. I heard out of the mouth of people that, you know, I heard the candidate say that she would uphold abortion and babies weren't human until they came out of the womb. I mean, I heard those terrible things. I heard what Obama said about President Trump and the rest. But I heard today something of mercy and grace coming out of their mouth. Maybe they are redeemable. And we've got to understand that God will demand an account from each. Every one of us, He'll demand an account from. If you read in Matthew 25, if you just take that down and read it later, we're very familiar with the parable of the talents. He gave 10, 5, and 1. Come on. Occupy till I come. Go do what, invest. And you know the story. The 10 got 10 more, the 5 got 5 more, and the 1 hid it in a handkerchief and said, Lord, I knew that you gathered where you did not sow. We got to remember, I don't care how bad somebody gets and how we wish they weren't around, man, they're going to get their due someday. And we don't want that to happen, see? I want mercy and grace on them. I hope you do. I don't want to see anybody burn in hell. I don't care how wicked they are. It's quiet. But amen. We need to pray for these folks. Lastly, I want to talk just very briefly about areas that do not belong to civil government and never should have. We allowed civil government to step in and take over in areas that we should be doing. Come on, somebody. There shouldn't be anybody out of food on our watch. But most of us are so strapped because we allowed government to encroach on everything. God has given responsibility to each to fulfill. Civil authorities, judicial responsibility to uphold right and punish evil as defined by God, and a right to raise an army for military defense. 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 11 and 12. Who's got that? Just the way it's going to be. Government is set up, civil government, judges, punishes evil, upholds right, and he even gave them a right to raise an army. That's their right. There are areas that God has not given the civil authorities. Number one, the state is not to be involved in corruptions for gain or exploitation. Deuteronomy 16:19. Okay? And Deuteronomy 17:16-17. Man, have we let that go to pot. Government authorities, I'm told there's more millionaires in Washington, D.C. than anywhere in the United States. People go there fairly wealthy. They leave there fiercely wealthy. Al Gore, when he left office, was worth $1 million. His net worth is $100 million now. Taking advantage and taking bribes and buying things. We just heard where one of the candidates were accepting money from foreign governments so they could have an in our government. It's even been proven. How that's going to play out, no one knows. But how many know? God said in Deuteronomy, you shall not pervert justice or show partiality or take a bribe or a gift. The state, secondly, is not responsible to raise and educate children. It's not the state's job to educate the children. But we've allowed it to be. Go to a PTA meeting and the only people who are there are the teachers. I'm starting the school board in January, and one of the things I've been questioning some of the school board members, I said, well, how many people show up to your public meetings? I'll let you guess. None. Unless it has to do with changing a schedule or forcing children to do what parents don't want them to do. And they have a turnout when it can be belligerent. But supporting, it's not there. Why? Because we've allowed it to be that way. See? The state is not responsible to raise and educate our children. We are. Genesis 18 verse 19. Who's got that? Did I give you Proverbs 22:6 as well? I'll tell you a little secret. When I was raising my kids, my teenage kids, they hated me. They said it sometimes. Dad, I hate you. That's all right. My kids are both doing well, married, children, working, savings, taking me. Well, it was hard on them. They had to be in at 10 o'clock. They didn't date till they were 16. Come on, someone. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. My son has wandered away a little bit, but I have every faith that he's okay. He's coming back. I have every faith. I did not allow myself to allow school or an educational institution to take care of my children. Not because I was a pastor, but when we had church, they were in church, whether they liked it or not. I used to get so angry with my son because my son would fiddle. You know how at 13, 14, they fiddle? You know, mess around with their clothes. And they didn't have smartphones then, but they had all kinds of other stuff, and combs and things and shoes. And I'd say to my son, what? And I'd try to catch him. I'd say, what did I talk about this morning? He'd give me all my points. Point one, point two, point three. He was listening. Ephesians 6:4, if I gave it to somebody, let me read it. Ephesians 6:4 says, and you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord. That's a command. And I see some children today, I said, who dressed you? And who put that mouth on you? Did you learn how to talk like that at home? Man. So the state is not responsible to raise and educate children. That's the responsibility of us Christians. Yes, they can go learn reading, writing, arithmetic, but they're learning social order in school and not at home. And school is saying whatever goes. Thirdly, the state is not responsible for welfare and care for the aged, the widows, and orphans. How many know our welfare program was never meant to turn over to the state? Because why? They've taken advantage of it. Well, people that could work rings around us if they just get up off their better intentions and do it. But because the government says you don't have to work, develop a twitch and take some pills and you can stay at home. Good day's work never hurt anybody, right? Amen? 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 1 and 2. Who's got that? 16, verses 1 and 2. It's 16. 1 Corinthians 16. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given orders to the churches of Galatia, so you must do also. On the first day of the week, let each one of you lay aside something, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come. Paul writing to the Corinthians church saying, take the collection for who? For the saints that are in need. Job 29:11. Who's got that? So effort comes from us to set the example in other people. I believe if the church would just be the church, God would bless us even more. If the church would just be the church, God would pour out enough money where we could take care of us and people that actually need what we have, widows and orphans. Do you know it's the church's intent to take care of widows, older women? God intended the church to take care of widows. Come on, somebody. And take care of them well. 1 Timothy 5:4. Who has that?
Taken into the nothing, the wife of one man, well reported for good works, if she has brought up children, if she has lodged strangers, if she has washed the saints' feet, be afflicted, if she is diligent.
So Paul was pretty clear when he was writing Timothy, who, by the way, was pastoring a church of 30,000 or so. So he had the widows. One of the first battles in Acts, we'll get to in a couple of weeks, was the argument between the Hellenist Jews because the widows weren't being served and taken care of. But God never intended the government to take care of the poor. God intended the church to take care of the poor. And with our setting the pace for, setting the bar high for, only those that really need it would do it. The rest we'd get employment and jobs for. Come on, somebody. Is it me? Is it only me that says how terrible things have gotten in the area of welfare? My goodness, it's terrible. And there's no easy fix. But if the church would just step up and say, hey, we'll take care of them. We don't need to build a brand new building. We'll just have more services. Or come on, somebody. We don't need cathedrals. We need help. We need to help those. And we could take care of that problem and lift the burden from the taxpayer. You're not hearing me. Man, can you imagine can you imagine the church is going to government and saying, hey, we've got a solution to the welfare program. We'll just take care of the poor. You guys can drop that out of your budget for next year. Could you imagine what would happen? How many people say, whatever you got, we want. You mean you're willing to sacrifice and take care of people? And it's breaking our backs, man. We've got cities full of people that need, and you say you're going to take care of it? How many know if we said that, God would give us that and more? To say, well, that's an impossibility. No, it's not an impossibility. If the Word of God tells us to do it, God never would tell us to do something that's not been able to be done. I say we could do that as a trial run here in Rochester, see how it works. When the government oversteps its bounds, it is the responsibility of the individual to determine how they will respond. All of that being, you know, when the government comes in and oversteps its bounds like it has in the last 8, 10, 12 years, it's our responsibility to say no. Some of the things that have been passed by government, I get that, I understand that, and we're at odds with one another. But a biblical balance must be upheld. While we're standing for the Lord, we need to have love and care for those that are on the outside looking in. I want them to get saved. I want them to get turned around. But we've got to initiate that relationship. We can't wait for them to see things our way. All believers have the responsibility to properly relate to all governments, home, civil, church, and society. In the civil government, an obedient Christian, number one, prays regularly for all in authority. 1 Timothy 2, 1 and 2. Who's got that? No one? 1 Timothy 2, 1 and 2. Therefore, I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. You want to know why we're in turmoil? We ain't praying. If in the civil government, an obedient Christian not only prays regularly for all authority, he gives due honor and respect to authorities at all times. Romans 13:17 or 13:7. Who's got that? Did I run out of scripture? Wow. Paul was arrested and somebody slapped him and he spoke against him and he said, you're speaking against the leader, speaking against the whatever, I forget his title, and he apologized. He said, I'm sorry. Paul was in the wrong, but he said, I'm sorry. He submitted to the authority. We feel we have the right to rail against authority and say things against authority and do bad things against authority. We don't have that right. We subjugate. We ruin what God has set in place when we get vitriolic and we say things and we write things and we do things against the authority. God sees that. Scripture says, surrender therefore to all their due. Every time I pay my taxes, I'm like you. I say, man, what are they doing with all this money? But you know what? God takes care. Have you known the Lord long enough to know that He could stretch a dollar to you, see through it? He can make a little bit of money go a long way. He's done it over and over and over again, and I should trust Him all the more, no matter what the taxes are. Thirdly, submitting to the decisions of the state so long as it does not mean sinning. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13 and 14. Yes. Wow. Submitting to decisions of the state, as long as it doesn't go against Scripture and cause us to sin, we're to submit, even at our own hurt. Come on, someone. Who gets the glory for that? God gets the glory for that. Blessed are you when you suffer, Jesus said. How many are suffering? All over the world, people are suffering, but we get upset if we have to submit to decisions of the state that we don't particularly like. Voting in all state and local elections. That's our job. I foolishly, about 6 or 8 months ago, I thought, man, I was praying. I was honest. I submitted to the other pastors I meet with, and I think I mentioned it in a sermon here. I almost didn't vote at all. I just said, I can't vote. I want to stand before God one day, and I just can't vote. And I think Steve came and said, you ought to think that through. I don't know if you remember that conversation. He said, you ought to pray that through. And it really spoke to me. And I got before the Lord, and I realized it's my right, but it's also my command. Especially in the kind of government we have. It's still by the people and for the people. Not as much as we'd like it to be, but... And so we're to vote and state and local elections. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 and 14. So how are we supposed to be salt and light? Our voice is to be heard in the marketplace. I'm told that Rochester got about the same turnout as we did 4 years ago. Out of 12, almost 13,000 registered in Fulton County to vote, 8,000 voted. So there was like 5,000 people didn't vote. Where were they? Let me run through the rest of these. If I gave you scripture, I'm going to read these real fast. I'm well aware of the time. It's about 5 till 9, so that's what it says, 5 till 9. Matthew chapter 22, verse 17 says, tell us, therefore, what do you think? Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? But Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, why do you test me, you hypocrites? Show me the tax money. So they brought him a denarius. And he said to them, you don't have to pay taxes, you're sons of the kingdom. Whose image and inscription is this? And they said to him, Caesar's. And he said to them, render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. We are also to express concerns in a public forum. It's our job to stay informed. Staying informed and understanding public issues. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 and 14, and Ephesians 5 says this. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. If we don't change the social climate, no one will. And the first place we change it is in the prayer closet. And then we act. For the first time in recent memory, the church actually did that. I believe there were thousands and thousands and thousands of people praying over this last couple of months. And it worked. So what's that tell you? If we pray, God listens. He says, ask and you shall receive. And we need to stay informed about the political system. In Acts 16, Paul said to them, they have beaten us openly, uncondemned Romans, and have thrown us into prison. And now they put us out secretly. No, indeed, let them come themselves and get us out. Paul threw himself in the middle of that political upheaval because of what the church was doing. He threw himself right in the middle. And as they bound him with thongs, Acts 22, Paul said to the centurion who stood by, is it lawful for you to scourge a man who is a Roman and uncondemned? We stand for righteousness even when it is unpopular and would risk our very livelihood. My friend, that's what I've been thinking about all day, and since last night I've been thinking about this follow-up on the believer in government. And we must have a civil tongue in our head. I was at a school board meeting. I've been observing. I'm not an official school board member until January, but I was at a school board meeting and listening to some of the arguments and a certain subject that we were talking about. An argument was coming from a secular viewpoint and not taking into account the presence of the Lord. And man, I wanted to jump all over that. But I realized if I did, what kind of rep would be mine even before I got on there. And I found myself praying for those people. Because how many know when we take it to the Lord changes things. They don't even know why they're changing. There's this change. Something comes out of their mouth. Like I said about Clinton and Obama, things came out of their mouth that I said, man, I hear grace in that. I hear mercy in that. Of all the things. I was glad because Hillary was supposed to speak at 10:30 and I was studying and she didn't come on until 10:30, 11 o'clock. I think it was 11:30, wasn't it? Tom stopped in. It was about 11:30. She finally got to the mic. But God had me listen to that for a reason. His grace is everywhere. And so we as Christians standing and believing the Scriptures and standing on the Scriptures as much as it be. In the next couple of years, we're going to have all kinds of reasons to rail against and shake our finger in government's face. Because it's not going to go as well as we thought it was going to go. It's not magic just because somebody got in there. The problems are long and they're arduous. And we've got to pray them through and see. There'll be change. But I think we're going to have a lot of mountains to climb between here and there. Yes?
Has hell be up?
Right. That's a good point.
Because that has sustained
him. Amen. Yes, he is. Mm-hmm. Amen. Well said. Yes, well said. Amen.
Let not a wise man, let not the mighty man boast of his might. Let not a rich man boast of his riches, whom boast of this. I am the Lord.
Wow. Amen. Amen. That's good stuff. That's good stuff. A lot to think about. My first responsibility is me and my wife. And I, as a pastor, my responsibility is here, and it can only go so far as to you receive the word of the Lord. And let's be men and women that God can count on. And spread it as far and as wide as we can go. Because if we take the role of servants and we don't count people as enemies, because it's not over until God says it's over. As long as they're breathing in and out, they have a chance. Amen. As long as they got breath in their lungs, God can redeem them. So, Father, thank you again for your grace and mercy in this most recent victory that we all have taken part in. But Father, I'm keenly aware, even as our brother has said, I'm keenly aware of the responsibility that we have as Christians going forward and how we conduct ourselves and carry ourselves in this tumultuous time. Lord, we do pray for this nation. We stand in the gap. For those, oh Father, that are angry, those that are still out there lying and spreading lies and conniving wicked plans, Lord, we pray that they would be exposed. Lord, that you would protect those that are in authority over us. Lord, take care of them as you can, Father. Lord, watch over them to perform your works. You use men like Nebuchadnezzar and Aharius, O God, and the rest, Lord, you used them. King Xerxes, God, you used him. Father, whatever it is that you have planned, God, we trust in you. Our whole trust is in you, God. We don't trust in man. We don't trust in governments. Our trust is in you. Thank you for establishing our footsteps. Thank you for making us salt and light in this day. Father, I pray for each and every one that you would bless them, their homes, their businesses, God, what they put their hands to, that you would bless each and every one of us, that we might, in the end, when all is said and done, we might be examples for you, glorifying you in everything that we do. And it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. God bless you.